This is Wisconsin Today. About 4.7 million young adults in the U.S. have used an e-cigarette to vape nicotine, according to the federal government's most recent national survey on drug use and health. A study finds an e-cigarette user's heart rate increases before taking a nicotine hit. That finding could help lead to new ways to support young adults trying to quit. Study co-author Megan Piper is a director of research at the UW-Madison Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention and a professor in the UW Department of Medicine. Megan, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much for having me.
In this study, you had young people who vape wear devices that monitored their heart rates. Can you tell us about the idea behind the study?
Sure. I'm sure you know, when you do something a lot of times every day, you don't always know exactly when you're doing it or how often you're doing it. And what we really wanted to understand was how often these young adults were actually using their e-cigarettes. There's what they tell you they think that they do, and then there's what they actually do based on feedback we can get from wearable devices like a smartwatch.
How does a heart rate change when a person is getting ready to vape?
Well, that was really interesting. We were hoping we would be able to see some kind of physiological reaction to anticipation or getting ready to hit a vape. And what we found, in fact, is that you do get an increase in heart rate that may signal what we're hypothesizing signals, anticipation or getting ready to have that opportunity for nicotine.
Does the heart rate then fall after the vaping event? What do you find when you look at the, you know, the before and after?
Sure. So it does come back down. And of course, when you put nicotine into your body, it does increase your heart rate. That's one of the effects that nicotine has on your body. And so basically how much nicotine you're having, how many times you hit the device, those are different variables that will affect how quickly your heart rate returns to normal.
How important is this wearable technology to really help advance the research you're doing in trying to help people quit smoking?
It's really important because what it can do is it can provide critical information that you might not be aware of. If you think about vaping or smoking, and you are thinking, oh, in a little bit, I'm going to take a break from whatever I'm doing, or, oh, I'm starting to get a craving or an urge to smoke. And your smartwatch can beep at you and say, hey, your heart rate's going up. Make sure you're making healthy choices. Make sure you're making a thoughtful choice about what you're going to do right now. If you're trying to quit smoking or you're trying to quit vaping, this is an opportunity to call a friend, play a game on your phone, use a piece of nicotine gum, use a nicotine lozenge, something other than doing the thing you're trying not to do, which might be smoking or vaping.
Megan, do you find that researchers like yourself are really focused on these technology interventions for young adult e-cigarette users?
We do. We find that, you know, that young adults, so 18 to 25 or thereabouts, they're tech natives. They are interested in using wearable devices. People track their steps. They track their, activity levels. They gamify it so that they're trying to earn particular levels at different times. This makes changing behaviors really engaging. And when you can be more engaged and have maybe a fun component to it, it makes it that much easier to do something really hard, like quitting smoking or quitting vaping.
You're looking at these young adults, you said 18 to 25. What do you know about the demographics of people who vape?
Well, we definitely know that young adults are the largest group of vapers compared to older adults or compared even to high school age or even younger. That 18 to 24, 25-year-old demographics vapes at the highest rate in this country. We also see really high vaping rates among certain subgroups. So people who endorse being LGBTQ+, vape at much higher rates. We see higher rates of vaping sometimes among people with different mental illness. And we also see higher rates of vaping in people in higher socioeconomic classes.
And you write in your study that most young people who vape plan to quit one day, but that motivation to quit is low and that there's not always adequate support for quitting. I want to unpack that. First of all, why is motivation to quit so low?
for a lot of young adults, what they're doing now doesn't seem like what they're planning to do in the future. They're very focused on the here and now, and they don't necessarily think about long-term consequences or how nicotine dependence is rewiring their brain, making it less likely for them to be able to quit in the future. And so if you ask most young adults, you know, do you think you'll be smoking in the future? Do you think you'll be vaping in the future? Do you think you'll be drinking like this in the future or using any other substances? Most of them, they don't even see that future, but they really don't identify as a smoker or a vapor. And so they don't see it themselves doing it in the future. The problem is when you're dealing with a substance as addictive as nicotine, that dependence builds early and makes it that much harder to be, you know, smoke-free or vape-free as you move into later adulthood.
And also then support to quit. You said it's a limited in your research. What is missing in the support systems to help young adults quit?
So one of the hardest things right now is there are a lot of different services available, but the question becomes, where's the evidence? Right? Vaping is relatively new. And so the treatment research is trying to catch up. And so at this point now, we do have different resources that people can use to help quit vaping. There's an intervention called This Is Quitting that is an online intervention, and it allows people to interact with other folks trying to quit vaping and get support in that way. And there's also been new research showing that medications like varenicline, which is the generic version of Chantix, actually help people quit vaping as well. So I think what happens sometimes is what started as a social thing or something to feel good or relax became an addiction. And then people feel sort of stuck and isolated, and they don't know where to reach out or how to get help. And so one of the things we're trying to do is connect people with help for that by referring them to the Wisconsin Quit Line, by referring them to This Is Quitting and other online programs.
Is the Quit Line keeping up with the changing dynamics of technology and people's preferences in using a digital approach?
Oh, definitely. Yes, the Quit Line has different options for people so that if they don't want to talk to anybody, they don't have to. They can text READY to 34191, and that will help them get enrolled in tobacco Quit Line services that could be helpful with smoking or vaping or whatever they're interested in finding more information about.
We're talking with Megan Piper, Director of Research at the UW-Madison Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention, looking at the latest developments to stop vaping and smoking. Megan, what is the typical experience of a young person trying to quit vaping based on what you've seen in your work?
So what we see and hear a lot is people now feel addicted, right? When they've been using long enough, they start to feel addicted. They talk about fiending or feeling nic sick or other descriptive words for nicotine withdrawal. And they don't like that. They don't like the amount of money they spend doing it. They don't like the fact that they're hitting their vape constantly all day long, and they want to change. But sometimes that kind of change is really hard, right? Because you're dealing with an addiction. And so they try and they might not be successful. They try, and it's incredibly difficult, and they just can't sustain it.
Looking ahead to new studies, the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention received a $4.3 million grant from the National Cancer Institute to look at helping people who both smoke and vape to quit, and you're calling this dual users. Can you talk about this research?
Sure. A lot of people who smoke thought when e-cigarettes came around, well, this might be a healthier way to get my nicotine, and maybe it'll help me quit. But what happens is we have a lot of people in this country that are stuck in this dual-use pattern where sometimes they're smoking, but they're also vaping, maybe in places where they can't smoke. And the problem is that recent research has come out showing that there's a fourfold increase in lung cancer if you are stuck in this long-term dual-use pattern. And so what we really wanted to do was to take interventions that we know help people quit smoking and see if we could modify them, adjust them so that they'd be really effective for people who are dual users. So we're looking to help people who smoke and vape really focus on quitting smoking and seeing the best way that they can do that.
And this is exciting because, as I understand, there haven't been studies to find effective methods to help these dual users quit. Why is that such a challenging problem?
I think, you know, like I mentioned earlier, that the research is just catching up with how people are using e-cigarettes. And what we know now is that, like I said, people are established in this dual use pattern. And so we really need to catch up the research on how to help people where they are. Very few people these days just smoke cigarettes. A lot of them are using lots of different types of tobacco products. And this is where we really feel like we need to understand the best ways to help people.
I'm wondering, what is the nicotine impact on dual users, people who are both smoking cigarettes and vaping?
That's one of the questions our research is hoping to answer. How much nicotine are you actually taking into your system if you're smoking and vaping? And then once we have that information, it'll help us understand, is that why a nicotine patch might work better for some? Or is it the situation where somebody who's taking in a lot of nicotine because they're getting it from both different products, maybe those folks do much better with a pill like a Chantix, otherwise known as varenicline.
This will be a year-long study, is that right?
Participants will be involved for 1 year.
Okay.
The grant itself is 5 years long so that we can help as many people as we can in Wisconsin to do this. We are just getting started. So right now, people can sign up at avenuesstudy.com and learn more about the study and find out if you might be eligible to participate.
With wearable devices and other ways of really charting accurate information on how people are both smoking and using e-cigarettes, do you feel like you are on the cusp of some new breakthroughs in helping people quit nicotine for good?
That would be fantastic. That would absolutely be, that would be a dream come true, I think, for all tobacco scientists. If we could finally harness technology in such a way that we could help people achieve their goal of being tobacco free, that would be an ideal situation.
Do you feel with vaping products somewhat new on the scene, has that complicated your efforts as a researcher to ultimately help people stop smoking?
Yes and no. It has definitely complicated the situation when you think about people who are existing smokers and who get stuck in this dual-use pattern. In some respects, e-cigarettes have been shown to be helpful in helping people quit smoking as long as they only use the e-cigarettes. There's evidence that they can be as effective as things like the nicotine patch. But you can't get stuck in that dual pattern. You have to completely switch. And so e-cigarettes have been a complicated evolution in nicotine products, in addition because of the issue of youth uptake. Right? Having youth and young adults starting vaping because it tastes good. It's a great high. You can do it discreetly. It's cool. All of the advertising that was done to really focus on youth and young adults access, all of those things have made e-cigarettes a much more complicated product when it comes to tobacco control.
Do you think the public health messages are getting through, especially for young people, about how dangerous it is to vape?
I think they are. We are seeing falling rates of e-cigarette use in young adults and high school students as well. Kids get that you can become addicted to e-cigarettes now, and they understand the dangers. Doesn't mean they think it'll happen to them. Doesn't mean they think it'll happen, you know, if they use it for a while. But the notion that it's a completely safe product, I believe, has evolved.
Megan, thank you for your research. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Megan Piper is Director of Research at the UW-Madison Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention, sharing her latest study on quitting smoking and vaping.